enemy is defeated. We were buried with him. We've been raised to life with him. It's amazing, you know, and we have this good news and, you know, we want to share it, but people don't want to listen, but it doesn't mean we're not going to share it. You know, we're going to still throw it out there and it might come right back in our face, but that's fine. Hey, the reason I got hope is him, is Jesus. That's it. You know, and the world just wants to beat us up, beat us down, get us all occupied with the affairs of this life. And we know what the word says about it. It said, don't worry about the affairs of this life. It's all perishing. You know, we have a new life in him. And that's what we're going to talk about. Last week, we were at this conference in Dallas, and they had this big lineup on the PowerPoint, and it was life above the line and life below the line. And it was talking about how we're still, like, not gone to heaven yet. We're still not in heaven yet or in paradise where, God is going to have us. But we're still living above the line. And this is why we can love others that don't love us. This is why we can forgive others that might not forgive us. This is why we look at life differently. And it takes a while for us to let that sink in because the world just wants to beat us down and beat us up. Amen? Amen. So the new you is Romans chapter 6. We're going through the book of Romans. And, you know, the first three chapters we talked about how everyone is a sinner. The Jews, the Gentiles. We talked about really there's only two types of people in the world. You know, the Jewish, the chosen ones of God, who God made all the promises to back in the Old Testament. They were unfaithful. They were not able to keep the law. And we talk about how in modern day times it's such an irony that churches want to go back under a law that was never even intended for them. We talk about how, you know, you want to go back under the Old Testament and look at the Ten Commandments and look at the 600 other three other laws that were given. And you're looking there and, you know, Jesus came for two reasons, really. He came to set us free. He came to for liberty for us. But he also came to bring the law up, to increase the law. And, you know, because he comes along and says what? He says, I say, if you even look at another woman, I say, if you even think about hating your brother, you have murdered. And then he elevates the law to the point where the Pharisees are saying, well, I'm keeping the law. No, you're not. No, you're not. There's a better way. There's a new covenant. I'm it. By my blood, I'm going to forgive you past, present, future, for eternity. You can either take the free gift or you can keep trying to do it your way. And a lot of our sin in our life is basically disobedience out of unbelief. Everything does not come from faith is a sin, is what the word says. And so we're going to talk about the new you and how we need to walk in our new self and not be wrapped up in the old things and keep looking backwards and thinking, hey, you know, that was fun. Let me go try that again. Well, you know how it worked out with you first, the first time you tried it, you know, walking that way. Proverbs talks about there's a way that seems right to a man and his end is destruction. There's a way that seems right to a man. His end is death. You know, we think we know what is best for us. And God says, you need to follow me. You need to have faith in me. So, Romans chapter 6. And we're starting in verse 1. And we're going to try to go through the whole chapter today. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, Paul's writing to the Romans here. He's writing to the Jewish people some of the believers there that have heard the gospel and now they're falling back towards maybe under the law again. And they're saying, well, hey, if you're just saying, they're basically confronting Paul and saying, hey, you know, if you're saying I'm forgiven past, present, future, I just go do whatever I want. That's cool, right? And Paul's saying, you know, no. Okay, why would you want to go back to that captivity? Why would you want to go back into being a slave to sin? You're not a slave anymore. You're a new you. So walk in your new you. Walk as a child of the king. The child of the king doesn't go lay down in a a pit somewhere and get smashed drunk and wake up and not know where he's at in the morning. And it's not good for you. That's not a good life for you. God has a better life for you. So whatever you struggle with, you know, walk in the new you. It says, by no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? So we've died to sin. So he's challenging everyone, you know, come out of that oldness, come into the newness. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So we've been baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's the difference in us being believers and somebody that's not. We have that newness of life. We have a total different perspective now. And we see the world totally different. Sometimes it's not good the way we see it, because it causes us anger and anxiety and like, oh, God, what are you doing? And we're thinking, God, what are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? And we even question, God, do you know what you're doing? Can't you see what's going on down here? And it was like in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, talking about Lot and how he was persecuted daily by the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, the things he saw around him. He was just persecuted him every day. He's just like, God, you know, God, get me out of here. Get me out of here. And God did. But he's talking here, and he's challenging us to live in the newness of life. We can get confused sometimes if we don't understand who our new self is. We can get confused, and we can start saying, well, you know, I got to behave a certain way. I got to talk a certain way. I got to walk a certain way. I got to do certain things. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the newness of life as believers that we have. We now have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. Everywhere we go, God goes with us. He's not some God that we pray to at night who's up there and we're down here. He's as close as he can to you. He is living within you. And therefore, we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we have a new heart. You know, the world cannot trust their heart. Jeremiah talks about the world's heart. It's wicked and desperate, and it can't be trusted. But us as believers have a new heart. And God even says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Because we have that new heart after him. We have a heart after Christ. A new mind, transformed by the renewing of the mind. A new heart, a new way of walking, a new way of talking, a new way of looking at things. We don't look at things temporary. We look at things as eternal. We're not looking at, okay, and here at my age, 61 years old, I'm almost eligible to take Social Security, believe it or not, whether that will be around or not, who knows. But you get to that age and you start thinking, hey, I've only got so many years left, maybe, until you talk to my dad, and he's 91. He's like, never thought he would live that long, you know? But you get to that age where you think, I need to start maybe doing some things maybe I wanted to do and I haven't done. And I start, and then I go, whoa, hold on a second. I'm going to die not doing a lot of things that I would have wanted to do in life. That's just the way it is. But those ways, that's nothing compared to what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen? I'm not looking for, I always wanted to go climb Mount Denali up in Alaska. I don't know why I wanted to do that. It sounds like misery now. But when I was younger, I wanted to go climb the big mountains and get up on top and say, I conquered it. And, you know, that was when I was younger. Now I'm like, I'll just watch other people do it. I'm fine. But, you know, there's places, you know, I said, well, I always wanted to go to this island down in the Caribbean, or I always wanted to go here, travel there. I'm going to die without doing all those bucket list things. Okay? But I'm good with that. Because I know what's coming is far greater. And I know that I'm going to eternity with him. And he is our reward. Amen? It's not things. Down here, we're looking at things. We're looking at material stuff. We're looking at finances. We're looking at relationships. Up there, it's just me and the Lord. I'm going to hang out with him. Amen. And so we talk about this, the Greek word amartiro. Sin is missing the mark. We talk about this missing the mark. Basically, if we look at the root of it, sin is unbelief. Because there's really only one unforgivable sin. Does everybody know what that is? There's only one unforgivable. See, people say, well, if I shoot myself in the head and commit suicide, God cannot forgive me. Not true. God can absolutely forgive you for that. Well, what can he not forgive me for? Not dying with a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sin, and that's basically dying without believing. Dying without believing. Dying without believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you die without believing, there's nothing he can do at that point. He's reached out. He's reached out for you. It says that his kindness brings us to repentance. Amen? It's not his wrath. It's not, you know, when we think of the wrath of God, we think, oh man, I don't want to face that. David prayed, he didn't want to face that. But when we think of his kindness, it's this kindness that leads us to repentance. It's knowing that he's forgiven us. And sometimes we think, well, there's no way he can forgive me for this one thing. I hear people say this all the time, but what about this sin? Or what about that sin? I said, what about it? Do you believe? Well, yes. Okay. Then you're forgiven. Is it that simple? Yes. Because if it was any more complicated, guys, we wouldn't make it. We would not. You know, and the Pharisees, that's why Jesus was so hard on the church people. He said, you guys think you got it together. You know, with your long prayers and your big robes and your fancy philosophies and headgear and all this stuff, and you walk around and make this big show like you're some holy person. But inside, you're like that cup. You're like that cup that's washed on the outside, but it's filthy in the inside. And you're like, the Bible talks about, you're like the whitewashed tombs. But in down in the tombs, they're full of dead man's bones. So you're good at hiding. You're good at covering up. And we as a church here at Grace Chapel, we don't cover up. We're transparent. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect, but we know the one who has made us holy and righteous. Amen? So how many sins has God forgiven? How many sins has God forgiven you? All. All. You can't be partially forgiven. You can't be like on a scale of 0 to 100, oh, I think he's forgiven me about 92. No, you're fully forgiven. Well, what about the sins I'm going to do tomorrow? Well, God already knows those. You don't even know them. But he knows. And he's already looked into the future and said, I went to the cross 2,000 years ago one time. I'm not getting back up on that cross and getting crucified again every time you sin. I did it once and for all. Hebrews talks about it. Once and for all, it is finished. The work is done. He sat down when he made the sacrifice. He sat down. That means when I sit down, work is over. Now, we rest in that, and we rest in him. We can sit down, too. We don't even have to work. What does God require of us? Read it, you know? So, here we are. How many sins has he forgiven? And we know all of those. So we're going to move on to Hebrews 3:12, where we're going to talk about the sin of unbelief for a second. The sin of unbelief. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. What did it say? An evil, unbelieving heart. They go together. So if you're a non-believer, you have an evil heart. I'm a good person. If you think about it, there's a lot of religions out there. And if you look at the people that attend their churches, they're very good people. They do very good things. They will come mow your grass. They will come wash your car. They will come help you if you're sick. But they don't even know the Lord. The Pharisees would do the same. So We look at them and say, how could that person have an evil, unbelieving heart because they're so nice? Well, niceness has got nothing to do with anything. Believing in who he is has everything to do with it. An unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. So it says, take care. There's a warning there. Lest there be any of you that have this evil, unbelieving heart. And we go to Romans 14:3. The root of all sinful actions. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Whatever does not proceed from faith. That means you have to be a believer to be not sinning. Okay, so once you become a believer, now you're in this category over here. You're forgiven category. And if you have that unbelieving, evil heart, you're over here in the not forgiven category. You can't be one foot in and one foot out. You can't straddle the fence and say, well, I'm going to hang on to this, but I'm going to dabble in this. Anybody ever heard somebody say, well, I'm going to try Jesus out for a while? Anybody ever heard that? I heard a guy one time say, well, I may try your Jesus out. I said, be careful. If you try him out, you're going to fall in love with him. Okay, because he's gonna love on you. And you know, we look around, and here's another lie of the devil. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. And we look around and we look at our life sometimes and we go, there's no hope. That is not from God. That is from the enemy. That is from the devil himself telling you there's no more hope for you. Your life's over. You're done. You're a has-been. You never will be. That's all a lie. And we listen to that and we start saying, hey, and we just need to say, hey, get away from me. Go away. I know who I am. I'm a child of the living God. I am forgiven. I'm washed clean by his blood. Amen? Amen. Don't even talk to me about that. So, even if it looks moral and upstanding. Do we get that? Even if it looks moral and upstanding, and we're all clapping for it, it doesn't mean that it is from faith. It could mean it's for your own glory. What did Jesus say? Be aware of the ones that walk out on the street corners and say the long prayers and the long robes and look up to heaven and pray out loud, and everybody's looking at who? Them. Everybody's looking at them going, oh, that's a holy guy. And in his heart, he has an evil, unbelieving heart. He looks moral and he looks beautiful or handsome or whatever you want to call him, holy, but he has an evil, unbelieving heart. And so we got to be aware. We got to be aware that the devil is very deceptive. So John 16 says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. This is when Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's talking about the Holy Spirit who was to come. So they're saying, hey, you know, they're protesting. Hey, where are you going? Hey, we want to go with you. And he goes, no way, hold on a second. I've got a plan, you know, and my plan is the perfect plan. Anybody ever thought about God has a plan for your life? And it's the perfect plan? Don't listen to the enemy. Just keep following what the Lord's telling you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, who is this helper guy? This is the Holy Ghost, right? And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Here we are, back to that sin of unbelief that separates us from the rest of the world. Romans 6, going back to Romans 6, verses 5 through 7. For if we have been united with him in death, talking about Jesus, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Have we all died? If you're a believer, you died with him. What does it say? We are set free from sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. That means we will no longer face those consequences of sin. The world is going to reap what they've sown, and that's a biblical principle. But we're going to reap what He sowed. Amen? We're going to reap what He sowed. And when you think about it, you go, wow, He did that for me? Yes. And we don't understand that kind of love. And we're not good at like receiving. You know, as soon as somebody gives you something, what do you want to do? Oh, I got something for you too. And because you don't want anybody, you know, we're just not good at accepting free gifts. We're like, hey, you know, Joe, I got a brand new pickup truck for you outside. Here's the keys. Oh, okay. And the next week, hey, man, I got you something. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. Jesus just wants us to respond to that love because He created us. He died for us. He rose for us. He was buried for us. He resurrected for us. He's alive for us. We're alive in Him. Everything we do is because of Him. All creation, all existence comes back to Him. Amen? Amen. So we have been set free from sin as believers. So Romans 6, 8 through 11 says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once. Once, guys. He's not going back on the cross. He did this once and for all. But the life He lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. And like we talk about every Sunday, this doesn't mean we're going to walk out of here and never sin again. You know, I sin every day. You know, when I eat my pancake breakfast and bacon and syrup and butter and three coffees on top of it or whatever, you know, God forgive me. But we're always going to be struggling with that aspect because that's that old man saying, come on back over here. Come on back over here. And we're saying, no. I'm a new me. God has made me a new person. I don't have to go back over there and be enslaved to that. I don't have to get drunk every night and go out and party every night and, lust after everybody and whatever. Be jealous of everybody and be unforgiving and hateful towards people. I can be the new you that God has made me. Amen? Amen. So consider us a self alive in Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law, but under grace. Now, if you want to go back, and a lot of churches will do this, they want to go back under that law. Well, and I call it, bait and switch. I call it the bait and switch tactic. Well, we believe it that salvation is by grace, yes. And once you believe that, now there's some things over here we need you to do. You know, you need to start wearing a suit and tie, Bill. And, shave your beard a little bit. It's a little bit too long. And, get that handshake a little better, you know, and get that smile on your face 24/7. You know, even if you're not feeling good, fake it till you make it, right? That's that religion. Fake it till you make it. They ain't going to make it. Because what happens, you're going to burn out on that, and you're going to go, I can't do this anymore. That's why a lot of people are not in church today. They think if they come in here, we're going to sit here and go, hey, welcome. Now, here's the Ten Commandments. And this, we want you to do this. We want you to do that. And if you're not, we're watching. We're watching you. And if you don't, if you mess up, we're going to be praying for you. And we're going to throw guilt on you and make you do things the way we want it. And then now we have our own religion. The very religion Jesus spoke against. It's not about us doing this or not doing that. It's all about Him. And it's all about our belief in Him. And God will lead us where He wants to lead us. God will convict us of what He wants us to do. And it's always amazed at me. And they say, Chuck, you preach cheap grace. I said, there's nothing cheap about it. But, you're just telling me I can do anything I want to do. And I said, it amazes me that you would think in the negative every time you say you want to do what you want to do, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do? Well, can I just go out and do anything? I said, yeah. What do you want to do, though? Are you a slave to him, or are you a slave to sin? And they immediately go to the gutter. I said, well, then maybe you do need some law on you. But if you go back under that law, this is what Paul warned against. If you go back under that law, remember, you have fallen from grace. You're going back under the law, and you better live by every letter of that law. And if you break one of them, you're in need of salvation. So good luck with that. The letter kills. The Spirit does what? Gives life. Amen. Amen. So, what then? Romans 6. Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So we talk about obedience, and we've talked about that before. How are we obedient? We believe. And once we believe, we have become obedient. It's not a whole list of things we need to do, because we'll never do them. 4, Hebrews 3 says this, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? This is when the children of Israel were captive in Egypt. And Moses led them out, and he said, with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? Well, let's see, what did they do, Chuck? They sinned? Yeah. Whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Well, how did they sin? Well, listen, he'll tell you. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So they were disobedient because they didn't believe. To believe is to become obedient. And it's a simple thing, but we miss it. And then we go back and we say, I got to do this and do this and do this. No. You got to believe. Let him do it for you. Romans 6 says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart. Here we go again. Now we have an obedient heart. Before we had an evil heart. Remember what Hebrews said? We had an evil heart. Unbelieving heart. Right? Now, what does it say? You were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Well, what was that? That was Jesus died for you to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Having been set free from sin, now we are slaves of righteousness. So in other words, we can't help what we do. We're just going to do good. We can't help it. We're going to be kind. We're going to have the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to want to help other people. It's not going to be something we have to do out of moral obligation to be seen by the church or to be seen by people and for everybody to clap for us and invite us up and say, oh, good person of the year. Come on up. Let's clap. No, that's not why we're doing it. The world's doing it for that. You ever seen somebody wants to give $1 million to a charity? First thing they'll do is go to KSL News or one of the news channels. Hey, I'm about to give $1 million over here. Yeah, me. Yeah, come here, look. There's the check. How about that? And my name is Charles Hyde. Yeah, don't forget it. Yep, and I can help you out too, maybe. If you do something for me, and that's what the world does. What does God say about when we do our good deeds? Don't let one hand know what the other's doing. You know, how about our prayer life? We're supposed to go out in the open and pray these long prayers and be seen by everybody. No, he said, go in your closet and pray. Amen? Totally different. So, Romans 6:19 says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Everybody agree with that? We have natural limitations, right? We're going to doubt. We're going to worry. No matter how many times you hear a preacher stand up here and say, don't worry, you're going to go out here and worry. And you're going to have doubt. You know, if God loves me or not, you know, how can he love me? I just keep doing stupid things. Well, yeah, I'm glad God loves stupid people, because if he didn't, he wouldn't love me. And so we see, I'm speaking in human terms because your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, and that always happens, right? You start out with a little bit of leaven, levels a whole left lump, what Jesus was talking about, a little bit of sin, and then it gets to be more sin, and then it gets to be where it's just taking over your life. And what's really sad, guys, is the people that they literally, their whole mind and their whole life is taken over by whatever has consumed them in the world, and they can't. They're a slave. They're trapped. And you know, you look at all the worst criminals in the world, whether they're child rapists, serial killers, or whatever. They just got worse. Ted Bundy, when he was the famous serial killer who actually killed here in Utah, when they interviewed him, he said, it would just overcome me. He said, I would see a girl, and I would target that girl. And it got to be where he said, I enjoyed just, as soon as I grabbed him, I had to kill him, like immediately. They're just consumed with that sin and that hatred and that lust and whatever's driving them. And they're a slave to unrighteousness and lawlessness, and it just gets worse and worse until you end up in the gutter. And but God is able to bring you out of that gutter. And that's our good news, is no matter how bad your life has gotten, and we all have testimonies in here, no matter how bad it's gotten, we know God has brought us up and out. Amen? Amen. So it says, slaves to impurity leading, or so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. Amen. Sanctification means God makes you righteous. God makes you righteous, and now you are righteous. And let's see if we can close out here. Romans 6, 20 through 23. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? And basically, I used to want to preach in the prisons in Everglades, Florida. I used to preach this. I would tell the guys, raise your hands. If the world has ever done anything for you, raise your hand. Let me know about it. And everybody would sit there like this. And they would say, Chuck, the world is the reason we're in here. And when we look back at our lives, we're now ashamed of what we once did. Because a lot of them are Christians and believers now. And so that's what he's talking about. He said, what fruit were you getting at the time? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification. That means you're made righteous. And its end is eternal life. And here's the famous verse that we all know so well. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. In who? Christ Jesus. It's that simple. Amen? Amen. The last slide I had on here was Hebrews 10:10. And by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So the new you, acknowledge it. I'm a new person. I don't need to go over here and get in the gutter with you, okay, to be happy anymore. I find my peace and happiness. And now, at my stage in life, I just like sitting at home by the fire with my dogs. I find a lot of peace and happiness in that. Where when I was younger, I was out there chasing and running and drinking and whatever, trying to find happiness in the world. And it ended up in bad situations. Ended up in things where I look back on my life and, why did I do that? That was just stupid. You know? And so acknowledge who you are. Embrace it. You're the new you. Rest in it. You know what separates us from a lot of different churches around the valley here? Is they think, I got to go work now. No, you know. You have to rest. You need to rest in the Lord. How many people in here today need rest? We all do. Let's learn to rest in Him. He doesn't require anything of you, but to love the Lord. That's it. To believe. And so rest in Him and live the new life. A new you, a new place, a new way. And if you wake up every day thinking of it this way, hey, today's a new day. I'm a new person. I got a new place, a new way, a better place, a better way. I'm going to walk in that. I'm not going to worry about this stinking world. And I'm not going to let this world control me. I'm not going to let somebody yell at me today and make me mad, get me upset. Somebody's going to flip me off on the freeway, and I'm going to want to show them I'm the boss. I don't have to play that game anymore. Hey, do you need to go ahead? Go right ahead. I've been standing in line before at a grocery store and had somebody just run right up, like, and just kind of ease in it from us. I could have gotten mad. I said, what are you doing? Hey, go to the back. But I said, hey, you in a hurry? Let me help you. Huh? Yeah. You got a lot of stuff here. Let me help you. Go ahead. You know, we can do that because we got forever. They only have a little bit of time. The clock is ticking on the non-believers, guys. They've only got a little time. They're stressed. They're anxious. They're worried. Let's help them out. Say, hey, peace, brother. Let me show you some love. Let me show you some kindness. Go right ahead. It takes the wind out of them. And we can live knowing that we've lived and shown Christ in our lives. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for this Mother's Day, for all the moms out there, moms-to-be. Lord, we just thank you for them, especially today on Mother's Day, that we this one day that we choose to remember them. We should remember them every day and all that they have done. And we reflect on our moms and our lives and what the influence they were on us and how they nurtured us. And we thank you for that, Lord, and how you made all of creation. You made us male and female with different roles and different responsibilities. And we're just amazed at your love and grace, Lord. And we thank you for this new way of walking, new way of thinking, new heart, new tongue, new vocabulary, new mindset, everything about us. And we're looking forward to that new body. And when we die and go to you. And Lord, we just pray that you be with us this week as we go. And just let us rest in you and show your peace and your love throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.